This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3916 for Monday, the 7th of August, 2023. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for July 2023. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by Dave and Ken and is about 76 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in July 2023.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is HPR Community News for July 2023 and joining me today is...
Hello, it's Dave Morris from A Cold and Wet Edinburgh.
Yes, and it's Ken Fallon from Cold and Wet Netherlands, Holland, I guess. Cold and Wet, the Netherlands. Yeah, doesn't flow off the tongue. Anywho, this is HPR. HPR is a community podcast that was started 17 years ago, 10 months and 18 days ago, where the show is produced by listeners like you and that can be on any topic that are of interest to hackers. If you listen to HPR, then please consider contributing one show a year. If you record a show now, it could be released within 12 days. Good, eh?
Good. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So, Dave, and this is the Community News Show. Do you want to tell people what the Community News Show is then?
Well, it's this show that we do every month, and we talk about what's happened the previous month on HPR. And we go through all of the shows. Not a great length, otherwise you'd be here for hours. But we review them and we read out any comments, make the odd comment on the show and that type of thing, and we talk about a few other things, mailing lists and other stuff, and we have any other business at the end. But that's really the main thing. So there's a chance for everybody who contributes the show to have somebody at least talking about it. And in many cases, they get comments, which we read out for them. So, yeah, it's good.
But why, Dave? Why are we picked as the chosen two to do this?
Oh dear, the old short straw game. No, it wasn't. No, we volunteered and we became janitors, as we call ourselves. So we're the guys with the mops and the buckets and stuff, and cleaning up and whatever. So yeah.
And the janitor is a term there to basically describe we continue to implement policy, but policy is dictated by the community. So there's a whole spiel about that on the About page if you want to read it up. But the most important thing we do, Dave, is usually going to you, and it's to introduce the new hosts.
Yes, and I really have something to say this time. We have two new hosts, Hopper MCS and Rato, who people will have heard before because he joined us on these shows on a few occasions, but he's produced a show as well, so we'll be talking about those later.
Fantastic. Okay, let's mosey over to last month's show, which was 3891 was the first one, and that was community news for the previous. And there were, in fact, two delightful comments about that show. And the first one was by Noristest about Solocast update, and he is the author of said command. I retold, thanks for mentioning Solocast. I have made a few updates since HPR 3496. The biggest change is that you can now install Solocast from Python package index, and the URL is there. Solocast now works with Markdown scripts as requested by Ken, aka me.
Cool. And Kevin O'Brien also commented on that show where we were talking about his shows on his RV journey around America, United States, and he said, my truck. The short answer is we bought the truck and the RV as a package from a close friend. We are very glad to have a truck that we don't need to worry about when towing.
Yep, it's a nice big truck. Okay, the following day we had Emacs package curation part one. Let's go through every single package installed in my Emacs configuration by DNT. I saw what he did there. And
yes,
the first comment was by Tlatu, saying, "I love this topic. This is such a great idea for a show. My .emacs file is an unholy mess of config options stolen from colleagues over the years. Maybe recording an episode of my own about a clarification would help me clean it up." Mm-hmm. That would be a I owe you a show.
Yes, I think so. And DNT commented, "Do it," he says. Yes, it turns out that by completing the sentence, "Let's go through every single package installed in A... dot dot dot," you can get a bunch of shows. Looking forward to your review of your Emacs.
And the next day, apropos as it was, we had Game Card Design Resources, How to Design a Card for Tabletop Gaming, by Tlatu himself. And the concept was, a poker deck is great for starting developing game mechanics, but you can go forward with that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Not a thing I would want to do myself, as I always say with these things, don't know why I have to tell you this, but my daughter is well into this type of stuff, and I did sort of vaguely mention it to her. I have to ask her if that's the thing she's gonna get into. And she's a D&D player and stuff, you know. So.
Indeed.
So there you are.
I follow her on Mastodon. She hasn't posted in a while. Wink, wink. Or I've been automatically unsubscribed, which could also happen.
Yes.
But I like her style and would be very interested to see her cat-esque type stuff appearing on D&D
games. Yes. She likes to draw sort of cartoony pictures and stuff. So imagine the cards that she produces would be fun. Yeah. Good.
Okay. Next day, page 42, Ugly Week News Shows Epoch, an hour of news and commentary of software development and overall floss space, by Hopper MCS. So this is our new host, and there was one comment, which I'll read, by Kevin O'Brien. "I love this show. I'm looking forward to more from this series. I would humbly suggest that aiming for a one-hour show might be a bit much. I think a half hour will be better, but maybe that's just me."
Yeah, good point. Yeah, do what you feel is good, I think. But do what you can do is probably the way of looking at it. But yeah, but it's good. I enjoyed the show. It was a nice introductory show, and looking forward to more.
Very much so. Okay, and let's move on to the next show. And that is What's in My Backpack. I can never pronounce Stash. Yeah, Stash walks through the contents of his work backpack. This was an interesting one, actually. The Moab thing. I think I remember on U-Random them having huge discussions about that tactical clips that you can extend your laptop and stuff. It's good. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I remember other people talking about these types of things. You can add all sorts of extras on top of the basic bag through what I take to be a sort of Velcro-ish type attachment mechanism. Sounds really, really good. Amazing what people carry in bags. It's always interesting to have an insight into these things, I think.
Yeah, it changes over time. I did one of these shows, I think, and what I have in there now is completely different just as time moves on, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Circumstances and your priorities and stuff change, I guess.
Right. I'll let you introduce the next show, actually, you being a Scotsman and all, and I want to make sure that your Celtic roots...
My Celtic roots never existed, I'm afraid. I just happen to have lived here for 40 years. So it's probably seeped into me in some form. Anyway, this is Andrew Conway McNallow, who is talking about the Brochs of Glen Elg, which he loves because it's a palindrome, which doesn't immediately spring to out until you look at it. It's got GL at the beginning and LG at the end and stuff, and an E and E in the middle. So
And a palindrome being something that you can
same
back to front to back, back to front.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it's sentences, rather contrived sentences and stuff. But yeah, palindromic name. Yeah, I've been in that sort of general area, but never been to Glenelg itself. And the brochs are these stone-built structures, quite large, presumably could house people or animals or something. Nobody actually knows what they were used for, as far as Andrew was saying in my little bit of research thereafter. So
Yeah,
yeah,
similar.
it looks amazing. He was actually there, and he was recording stuff from within while approaching and within the broch. So yeah, an excellent show, I thought.
Never knew these existed. Didn't and led me down a very long trail investigating it and trying to figure out what they would be for. And I just think they're a bit like a small fort where you kept your animals for the night and then let them out.
Yeah, it
Seemed
looks a
to be
bit
on
like that,
trade
didn't it?
routes, so it was kind of likely to be that.
But they're pretty ancient, from what I recall. I don't remember how old they are, but they go back a fairly long way. So yeah, it's fascinating. And that general area is amazing, of all the west coast of Scotland, with all the sea lochs and everything, is a brilliant place. The only downside is the midges, or midges, as they like to say, which are biting insects, very, very tiny, that come out in the evenings and also on damp days. And they are hell. They just keep bite, bite, bite all the time. Really hard to deal with.
Yeah. You told me they were related to mosquitoes at one point.
I think so. I'm not sure. I think they're maybe
No,
the
I looked it up
same
and they are, because I didn't believe
genus.
you.
Yeah. Same genus, but I'm not sure, because they're very, very tiny. But yeah, maybe they have similar mouth parts and that type of thing. But yeah, it used to be a form of torture that you tied criminals up outside on an evening when the midges were out, and they would be bitten to the point of distraction. Yeah, pretty nasty.
Used to have them in Ireland a lot as well. And I
They're all over.
found the best thing to do was just stay out one evening in the beginning of the summer and just get absolutely mauled by them. I don't know whether this just, and then you just weren't as bothered by them then for the rest of the year. Not that you're immune or anything, it's just, right, fine, I've had the worst of it, so it's done.
Yes, you get hardened to it. Yeah, I've had holidays over there, and was told, if it's hot in your accommodation, do not open the windows at night, because your place will fill up with midges. It will be after, because they're attracted by the CO2. So yeah, and you see people walking around, people who are camping and stuff, and everybody has a midge proof helmet thing on, sort of gauze thing over their heads. So yeah, it's anyway, enough of that
Okay.
chit chat.
DNT
It's my
said, yeah,
turn.
do
My
this one,
turn.
yeah.
Yep, DNT says ruins. Thanks for sharing this. I did not know about it. I've long hoped to visit Skara Brae someday. So here's another potential stop for me. I would enjoy hearing more of this.
Exactly. It's on my list to go to Scotland, but things conspire against me, Dave, I'm afraid. Anywho, following day, Audiobook Club 2022, Murder at Avondon Hill by P.G. Holyfield. I like the Audiobook Club being back. It's great. This one had Taj X 1101 and Pokey.
It did. Yep. It's really good to hear them back again. I don't know when these were recorded, fairly long time ago, I think.
A while ago, yeah. We'll get to that in a
Yeah, but
while.
it's still very, very welcome to hear them back again. So yeah, a great format too. I do
I
enjoy
love
that.
it. I love it.
Yep.
Following day, we had the Oh No News, where some guy on the internet talks about internet scams. This is just reeking with good advice and very approachable as well. You could give this to somebody that you know. Just, it's good stuff. Good tips.
Yeah, it's really well done. And if you want to come back and catch up on things that you missed, or review things you missed, then the notes will carry you forward magnificently. They're excellent, excellent
Excellent
example of
notes.
notes.
And further explanations down underneath, we approve. We approve of these show notes. And Paul Quirk had a repair crop video for free using Untruck. Great, great little tip, great little episode. Basically, long and short of it was he had a you know, a dash cam footage of an accident. Nobody was hurt. So, and there are a lot of services out there charging money, and he was able to track down the actual source code, showing exactly where you get it, and you can drop a few shekels to the author if you want. So, great tip, and something that I, one of these where I deal with video often enough, and people come to me when they're desperate, that I'm bookmarked this one for use at a later date.
Yeah, yeah. Never had the need, but I didn't know there were such things available, you know, for free, for open source or whatever. So yeah, good, as you say, a good bookmark to keep for future reference.
Okay, next day, preparing podcasts for listening, a show by Ahuka about how he prepares his podcast files in Audacity. And the first comment is from, three comments. First comment is from Hipster, a limiter and G-Podder. Thanks for this episode. I had never thought of speeding up podcasts before. I have the opposite problem when listening. I am always missing things or wanting to pause to take notes. I will try speeding up some of my podcasts using Change Tempo. I think it will make me more focused on listening. I use a RSS reader to deal with my podcasts. I had considered G-Podder in the past. I think it will give it a try again after your description of the workflow. I also use Audacity to mod podcasts. I'm doing it in a slightly different reasons. I like to cut out commercials and segments I don't like. I am not sure if limiter is a standard Audacity effect or a LADSPA or Nyquist plugin, but it is a great substitute for amplify normalize. When you set a soft limiter, it acts like a fast riding volume control to increase the power massively without clipping like amplify does. A typical starting point for setting the limiter would be something like type soft limit input gain mono left 3 dB limit to minus 1 hold milliseconds 1. I separate my automated steps and do limiting manually for good results. I like to get maximum volume because I listen to a lot of podcasts in the car with the window open. But even while using in a macro, I think you could find a generic settings that are preferable to amplify and normalize.
Oh, good. We had a comment number two from Eugene, who says, no need for podcast pre-processing. Hi, Ahuka. I listen to podcasts on Sansa Clip Plus, synced from G-Podder too. It's an excellent little player. Speaking of the pre-processing, there's no need to do that if you install the open source Rockbox firmware on the player. And it gives a link. It works great and has a lot of features. There's a control to increase and decrease pitch and speed while playing. You need to enable the time stretch option to change them. And he gives a link to that. And it took me years before I figured out it was possible to separate the two. Also great for podcasts are auto resume from the previously paused place and the ability to make the left and right buttons skip n seconds instead of to the next previous or next track. Have a good day.
And Kevin replies in Sansa Clip Plus. I used Sansa Clip Plus with Rockbox for a long time, but now it is unavailable. The way I do it now, I can use any MP3 player. And that's a fair point.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I hadn't fully appreciated that. Yeah, pretty much all of the Rockbox capable devices are now no longer being created, so no longer being made. So yeah, I know that really stinks, but unless you did do what I did and claw through the Etsy's and stuff, auction sites and stuff, you'll not find them. And now they're astronomically expensive because people have realized that they're very rare.
I sent over my last few to Pokeet so that people could get access to them. Anyway, next day we had time management by operator. Another one of these excellent shows. I go over how I manage time because I'm a goldfish. Who's doing the comment? You or I?
I think it's my turn, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I lose track so easily with this. I really need
it is. I read it.
Yeah, hold on. I seem to have a cough, so I keep stopping. Anyway, Rato says, a calendar on Android. Hi, operator. I'm in the same boat about forgetting appointments. A calendar is what I used for years, and I like to say it's the best calendar. I mentioned to you just one function. To copy an entry is as simple as it gets, so you keep your history, I think is what he's saying, instead of moving an entry. It also offers to create several entries instead of a series. And he gives links to this. The website for more information, and he gives a link to that. Not synced with Google, I created a calendar that is as private as it gets, so I have to make backups. Backup your calendar with, and he talks of a iCal import export CalDAV, which is a thing that you can get from the Google Play Store. And it mentions the website, which I assume is the iCal backup thing. To support the developer, I had to get the pro version. Now it runs automated backups. Very useful app for me. My two cents to your show. And that's Rachel.
Good tip right there. Mr. Young, the artist formerly known as Beezy, has introduced a new series on FFmpeg. Yes! Brilliant. This is a tool I use all the time. It's used everywhere, audio, video, everything. It's such a fantastic tool, and I'm really glad he's putting the show together. And if it's anything like your collaborations in the past, it will be excellent.
I'm sure it will, yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. It sounds great. I've used FFmpeg, not as much as you obviously do, nor Mr. Young does, but yeah, it's a brilliant thing and very complex, but incredibly powerful is what I've taken away from it. So looking forward to hearing more about it.
Yeah, I think the majority of my experience with it is finding several different posts on Stack Overflow about how to do the thing I'm looking for, and then combine them, fingers crossed, until it does the thing that I'm looking for. It would be nice to actually know what's going on in the background and the best approach to take. So looking forward to this. Anyway, DNT says, FFmpeg, I'm looking forward to more of this. I haven't used FFmpeg much anymore, but it was essential to me in my videographer and video editor days. It's one of those applications that's hard to imagine being without, and amazing that we have it. Thanks. So the following day we had Why I Don't Love Systemd Yet, hosted by Geek and narrated by Klaatu. For people who are new to HPR, we do have a service, We have people who have said they will volunteer to read your show if you feel uncomfortable doing that or unable to do that. Don't think that your inability to speak English to a standard that you think people can listen to me, for example, then you can always submit a show to us and we will narrate it and post it on your behalf.
Cool.
DNT said.
So, yes, it's my turn, isn't it? DNT says, Systemd. I think this was an excellent perspective on Systemd, something that's good for servers and for the overall enterprise Linux world. It's not necessarily good for my laptop, and it turns out that's okay. Great stuff.
Yes. So the following day, we had How to Make Friends. This topic is being actively researched and not for production use by Klaatu. Now, this was an interesting one, don't you think, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It certainly made me think. I think others have said the same thing. It's very, very...
Shall we read the comments and come back to the topic?
Yeah, let's do that.
You do D&T's, then I'll do the longer one from Beezer.
Okay. D&T says, friends, thanks for this. I listened to it on the way home from work and continued to think about it well into the evening. So that's pretty much what I did. Yeah.
Same here, yeah, and I'm still thinking about it. Beezer says, friendship. Hi, Klaatu. Great show and a very, very thought-provoking. You've missed one type of friendship that applies to me and I dare say many others. I grew up and went to school in London and became a group of seven, quotes, mates. We never used the term friends in case we were deemed soft. Crazy, I know. Over the years, we have all moved away from each other and in one case to the other side of the world. So we often only meet once or twice a year. Sometimes not even that. And we don't even converse by phone or message much in between. Despite that, we all know we can totally rely on one another should the need arise. And when we do meet in intervening months or years, the intervening months or years simply have no relevance. Apart from my immediate family, of course, these friends are closer to me than anybody else, but the need to have constant contact doesn't exist. It's the polar opposite of people who are constantly on Facebook communicating with friends they've never met and really know nothing about with any certainty. That describes me and the lads. So the Irish equivalent of the group of lads I went to college with. And when I was over in Ireland recently, we went to the pub and one of the guys we hadn't met in years because he'd met with the lads while I wasn't there and likewise. So it was, it was like, okay, that's where we are now. Fucking awesome. But
yeah. It's got so many facets, this, hasn't it? I think different people approach the subject in different ways. And it's also sort of related to societies, I think. I mean, even in British societies, there are different sort of background rules as to how you have friends or behave with friends or keep friends in different... Just in my limited experience, or the way I interpret what I've seen anyway, is that's the case. So yeah, it's really fascinating. I was actually thinking about putting something together as a response. I don't know if I've got anything interesting to say, but it you know how you do, you sort of thinking, oh, that's my approach is different, my viewpoint is different, but is it different enough to warrant
it does. I would like to hear other people's shows on this, because this really hit a point with me, particularly when we come to one of the audiobook shows later on and we hear 5150 again, who I consider to be a friend, never have met, the other side of the planet. And you, of course, have met a few times. I would consider you a friend. Yet, does that fall in, well, for a start, as Klaatu was describing it, it made me realize, I may consider some of my friends online to be friends, but they might consider me just co-workers or colleagues on this project. So it's kind of...
Yeah. That's part of it, isn't it? It's part of it.
Such freedom when you were young. Will you be my friend? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It just happened spontaneously because you both shared the same pencil or something, you know?
It was.
And it's very odd. It's very strange. I realize I haven't kept many friends from school days. Any really now, you know, they gradually disappeared over time. You know, but I don't know. Unlike Beezer, who's stuck with his friends from education times very differently. But anyway, yeah. It would be interesting to hear other people's viewpoints, and I might contribute something if I can think of something well constructed and thought through enough.
Yeah, okay, we'll move on. Next, presenting Fred. Whoa, what happened to my screen? Fred Black, which was Folky's son, I think, would be correct.
I know.
It's great.
I had to do a double take there. And yeah, he said, here's my son, and he's called Fred Black. And he just sort of stopped, as if, you know, people would have a sharp intake of breath as to how does that work then. But anyway, no, fascinating. A really interesting chat between the two of them. I thought they were very, very entertaining.
And makes me, they put a link into a podcast, which sounds very much like something I'd like to hear, but it's done in Norse, Swedish and Danish, all mixed through. I would love that. But I can't speak any of the languages.
No.
Although that said, since I've learned Dutch, and having a few beers obviously helps. You know, as you're listening to some of the Nordic languages, there's a lot of words in there that you go, okay, I can, if you had a weird accent, you know, that word probably means the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did visit Norway once and hang out with some Norwegian people, and they were very good at speaking to me in English, you know, on and off, but they would have conversations amongst themselves that I wasn't included in, which, you know, absolutely fine. But then they turned to me and said, oh, sorry, did you understand what we were saying? And the answer was sort of. Were you talking about your new car or something? Yes, you got it right. Yeah. You know, so you pick up enough little threads to get the general shape of a conversation. Not the details, obviously, but yeah, I found that too. It was, but I wouldn't like to try speaking them up.
No, as somebody said, I can't remember, why do you, your English is perfect, why do you always have an interpreter when you're doing stuff? Because even if you're 99% wrong, correct, if you miss the word not in the sentence, that can have serious implications.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, another of the unknown news ones. This is some guy on the internet. Threat of convenience. Oh, this is classic. Just for us, I don't know if he works in information security, but he nails a lot of these topics that he's able to communicate, a lot of topics that I know that the security teams struggle with. Yes,
that's good point, actually. He does come across with somebody with professional understanding of this sort of stuff, or a lot of deep thinking on the subject, it feels like, too. So yeah, it's a really, really helpful thing to be on the receiving end of.
I seriously think he should have start a business and just take the previous show and this show, like do a one day course for businesses on making information security accessible. Go into businesses, put on a slide, talk about these, give examples, you know, and then two or three of these, you know, morning session, this is the after the coffee session, and then two more sessions, and then that will be a business really desperately needed. Mm-hmm. Because people who are into security tend to be impassioned, and there is a thing in security, it's a very, how will I say, braggy sort of, yeah, war story type thing. There seems to be a lot of, oh, I've defeated the system, great. Now it's left up to people to put it back together again. So
yeah,
I don't know if I'm making, but if you listen to a lot of the security podcasts, they tend to be very bullish and cocky and masculine, what's the word, macho about security, etc.
I see it from just sort of my local environment, which is that my daughter's trained as a scientist but doesn't want to be a scientist going on. However, what she really wanted to do was be a science communicator. So she went on and did an MSc on science communication, so she's learned skills in the ways that you tell people, explain things about science to people, which she finds to be immensely rewarding, as opposed to being in a lab or whatever. You know, so this is another case of communication skills with a lot of knowledge behind it, but not pumping out the knowledge in an elite sort of way, but getting it in an understood way to people who need to understand it.
Yeah, cool. That's what you should be doing. Somebody pay him loads of money to do that.
I do agree, yes.
Okay, Rito, my introduction show about me and computers. That was a pretty crap episode, really. You know, we don't know why you bothered. Only because he's already been on twice, and I know he can take a joke.
Yeah.
No, this is good. It's cool that he used Solarcast to do it.
Yeah, I was impressed with that. I did go and look. It doesn't quite fit in with the way I do things there, because I've built so much infrastructure. But if I was starting afresh, that would be an excellent way to go. Not that bothered, but yeah. No, it's a good show. I enjoyed it very much. I didn't realise he's got a long experience in the ways of IT and stuff. Just judging from some of the stories he was saying, some of the anecdotes and so forth. So yeah, I'd like to hear more about his experiences.
I see Commodore 64 there. Got into it through HBR through the LibreOffice series, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
That's a good start.
Commodore 64, that was the first computer I used, actually. Cool.
Yeah. Good to hear.
Excellent show. And I'm only messing, Rito. Please do more shows. They're excellent. Basically, any of the topics you've discussed in there about the Amigas, Commodores, go firewalls. Yeah, that'll do it. Okay, Emacs Package Curation Part 2. This was another one by DNT, and this was the Emacs tools. It was kind of weird that, I don't know, the whole Emacs thing is kind of weird to me that you had that, and now I put in an editor into an editor. That, what?
Yeah. No, it's something I've done in the past. I managed a VMS system, OpenVMS as it came to be called, and they had an amazing thing in there which was called the language sensitive editor, which essentially was a programming language for writing editors. And they had several editors available to you. One that would twiddle all the security bits and pieces that you could do as a sort of configuration file through an editor. The language sensitive editor itself was a thing where you typed the start of a, this is a long time ago, so all of this has happened more since then, but you started typing an expression in a language and it would fill in the rest for you, put a sort of template in, a boilerplate thing in. So that was in the 1980s, early 90s type of timescale. I wrote a lot of stuff in that, I forgot what it was called now, but the underlying language. So Vim, NeoVim, Emacs come in the same sort of area as far as I'm concerned. Though Emacs has gone a long, long, long way further than anything I've had any experience of.
It is. Do you want to do the Vim announcement just as a by-the-by now?
Oh, yes, mentioning editors. Yes, I just came across the fact before we started the show that the creator of Vim, Bram Moulinar from the Netherlands, died on August 3rd. He was 62. So he's been actively developing Vim right up until, you know, he's passed away. Amazing guy, and very, very sad that he's gone so young.
Yeah.
He was ill, apparently. He had an illness that progressed rapidly in the past few weeks, according to the note put up by his family, which I saw references to. There were references on Mastodon that I spotted. But that's
sad news.
It's really sad. It's really sad. He'd be greatly missed. A huge loss to the to the editing community, I think.
Okay. Should have maybe left that for last, because now I'm struggling to make a bridge into the next ticket.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's move on. 3909, permission tickets, collective delusion about the effective conclusions by one of Spoons. This is about lots of things. And a bit like Clatoo's episode, it had me thinking about it. And I know that DNT, who comments, great show, keep them coming. Thanks for this. Well done. Plenty for the listener to think about. Looking forward to more. And DNT does a response show. And the show itself is about money, social credit as a proxy, etc. And so apropos, I was talking to my mother about this, and I've actually recorded a response show, which was going to post, but now I can't because I need to respond to DNT's one. So I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
Very interesting. It's one of these things that you don't, well, I don't quite understand what it is I'm listening to. Then gradually it sort of soaks in that there was a lot there. It's very dense, concentrated thought had gone into this and was being communicated. So yeah, it's a huge lot to think about. So yeah.
This is one to, you know, big crackling fire, glass of whiskey perhaps, or beverage of your choice, to sit down, put this one on the wireless, and then turn off the wireless and sit there and think, preferably with a grandfather clock in the back going tick, tick,
tick. Yes, those are the days.
Yeah, those are one of Spoons. Yeah. Oh no, actually, I think when I heard the show, I turned off my MP3 player, or not MP3 player, because it's a phone anyway, and I listen to Nog, but I was on the bus going into work, and I just was sitting there thinking about that the whole way home, for 3/4 of an hour of a commute, just pondering. That's interesting. Also with Latou Show. And that's actually nice. It's nice to have, you know, mental stimulation that makes you actually think, as opposed to click here for 5 amazing facts, blah, blah, blah. Chewing gum thoughts, yeah, that we have.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's a sort of philosophical dimension to this, to my mind. You know, the sort of thing that words are spoken, and then you go, oh, right, okay. And then you suddenly stop and think, hang on. So if that is right, then that means such and such.
Yeah.
And you go off into your own, you know, spiral of thought about the subject.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'd finish now. Go.
And then you're thinking, yeah, but my experience is this. Does that change my experience of that? How does that fit in?
Yeah.
That's interesting. But that must be why. Yeah, so very good. I would like to do a response show to that if I can.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's another case of where further discussion on the topic would be fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Even a sort of round table, if anybody's keen enough to do that type of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I can't think fast enough. Like,
no,
it took
neither.
Me 45 minutes to even ponder a response. And then DNT showed hit the future feed, actually. You won't hear it until next month. And then I was thinking, oh, right. I now need to go back to the drawing board and think about it again. So HBR is ideal for that. Long shows, and we will add the references to previous shows so that you can follow the thread.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last show, I think, for the month. Is that correct? 28th? Could be.
No, there's one on the 31st.
Ah, okay. Playing Civilization 2 was a hookah show about playing Civilization, and this is part 2 of that, as opposed to Civilization. No, it is Civilization 2. And this is about playing it. And there was one comment. You read that?
Yep. DNT says, game mechanics. This is interesting. I like your discussion of game mechanics. This is why these games are so engrossing when you get into them. I'm sure that's true. Yes, yes. It's... Hooker has sort of... gets deeply into these things. I get that impression anyway, that he's also a deep thinker. So it's good to hear his thoughts about stuff.
Yeah, I've never had that thing with games where I I was always worried about getting into them, and I get so stressed. And the time countdown thing, the time and countdown factor, and find myself wasting so much time in them that I avoid games. They don't relax me; they make me stressed. Mm. That's just me, maybe.
Sympathize. I sympathize. Yeah. I know. The next show. Yeah, go on.
I know why he was bringing it. Yeah, Mr. Look at me, Dave Morris, with an overview of ACK command, a Perl-based grep-like tool that can search by file type. Never heard of it, Dave.
Oh, there you go. It's, yeah.
And not installed by default, either.
No. It's something, I think I was watching one of those YouTube thingies where people say, here's some commands you'll really enjoy or you should be using all the time or something like that. And yeah, I wrote it down on a bit of paper along with the other ones and then was going to throw it away and, oh, let's maybe check a few of these. And ACK came up and I thought, oh, this is really nice. I enjoyed using this. So, yeah.
The stuff you mentioned in it, I do now with a more convoluted find command and grep command. So this is marked down as something that I would be interested in. However, I will note, Dave, that you're searching by file extensions and you had the religious war at one stage about putting file extensions on, Dave.
No, it's not that so much. It's the fact you write a program, okay, make soup, but you've got to put .pl or .pd or .xyz on the end for some idiotic thing to be able to come along and say, oh, look, there's a program, and I have to run it with this, where inside the actual file it says, run this with Perl, run this with Python, run this with Org or what the hell else, you know? Why have you got to put that extension when you're making a program? I want my program's names to be indicative of what they're for, not to have garbage on the end that tell the operating system stuff about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but that idiot that comes along is me. I'm looking for the Perl program I wrote 20 days ago, and it's in the middle of all the Bash programs.
But what you need is ACK, because yeah. it will look in the file and say, oh, look, it's a Perl thing. That is, even though this guy hasn't put .pl on the end, it's Perl. I can tell.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure you'll ever convince me of that.
No, it's just a personal foible, because back in the day, I worked in operating systems where you did not need to put .exe on the end of things and stuff in order to, to execute.
We have that now on Linux, and it's fine. You can just point it and it'll run, but I find it super useful to be able to search based on... look for all .pl files just with the extension. I'm fully aware that it might be a bash file that's just named .pl, but does help.
There's quite a lot of the operating system that the commands which are bash, which then launch something else, which I usually use the file command to ask, what the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to go and look at how it works or something, you know. But the operating system I've worked on over the years, the mainframe ones, tended not to do that because because they were very different from Unix and derivatives, where all files are pretty much the same, just the contents are different, but the files themselves had different structures and they were marked with all manner of gubbins in the file headers that said I am a database or I am an executable file or whatever, and the operating system used that, not some nasty little tag thing stuck on the end. It's basically because I hate Windows. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Okay, so that is all the shows. So we'll go over the comments, skipping over the green one, because we're not supposed to talk about them. And the first comment was on the show Mike Ray, which was an emergency show from ages ago, about the power of condensed steam. DNC says, clap. I don't know if that's an instruction or not. It'd be hard enough to do with push to talk on. Anyway, the comment says, this is a fun and new one to me. I reproduced this experiment twice. A very opportune time for this show to reach the main feed. Only a few days after a famous implosion of a different kind, if you are reading this in the distant future, see OceanGate. Ooh, thanks for this. Right.
Yes, it's... A sharp intake of breath.
Okay.
Yes, I do see where he's coming from, though. So the next one is from Rito on your show on about com. Ken, by one Ken Fallon. Hi, Ken, he says. Could it be that you mixed up KDIF3, gives a link, with KDIRSTAT while we were talking in the community news for June's show? KDIRSTAT is based on the same code from the original KDE3 KDIRSTAT. KDIRSTAT, did I say that? Yeah, from the original KDIRSTAT of 2006. It's an 80% rewrite using a lot of newer QT technologies. There's a lot of cleaning up that old code base that's long been overdue. If so, KDIRSTAT is also interesting. It comes with nice features like package manager support, show what software package a system file belongs to, packages view showing disk usage of installed software packages and their individual files, unpackaged files view showing what files in system directories do not belong to any installed software package.
Interesting.
And it's just an apt install away. However, you helped me anyway, because while in KDE's Dolphin's KDIF3 integration can only compare two files in the same folder, I can use it in the terminal with paths to files like, and he just puts KDIF3 space home reto abc.txt /space/media/usb/abc.txt. So yeah, yes, absolutely. I just a comment on this, I used to use KDIRSTAT with Conqueror a lot. It was really good.
Yeah, similar.
Draws lovely pictures of your what files you've got, and you can go and drill down into them and stuff.
Identifying that huge ISO that was taking up all the space
exactly.
in your disk.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So many times have I done that. And yeah, so I really must go and look at KDIRSTAT, which I haven't done yet.
And I replied, KDIRSTAT is nice, but I meant KDIF3. I did download KDIRSTAT after that, and it's an excellent tool, and I need to remind myself not to use KDIRSTAT, but to use KDIRSTAT instead. And I'll also point out the Android app on the F-Droid store called Disk Usage, all one word, Disk Usage, all one word. And that one does the same thing, but for Android. Okay, I'll carry on with my comment. Nice tip on KDIRSTAT, but I meant KDIF3. So KDIF3, path to old, path to new, and perhaps I need to do a show about this. Oh, hold on. I see what you did there. And yes, he's already been on the community news, so he knows all about getting people to do shows. But that one actually, if you open KDIF3, you have the option of comparing a directory, but you also, underneath that, there's another button for comparing files. So you can compare files also using the GUI.
Cool. I've got... Okay. I use Meld personally, but just because I've linked it into Git as the diff tool when I'm looking at Git differences, just because it's prettier, I suppose. I don't know, really. KDIF3 is fine, though.
And the link to the mail list is outdated, Dave.
So it is. I thought I'd fix that. No, obviously, yeah. I thought I'd fix that. I really did think I'd fix that. Oh, that's very odd. I must have done it in my sleep or something. Yeah, I will fix that. It's that's irritating.
And yeah, also on the
there's only one thing there anyway. If you were to look, it was just me telling everybody to come to the show if they wanted to.
Also on the down on the bottom is also wrong. Down on the bottom, the footer has also got mail list link issues.
Okay. Well, we know, we've yet to get around to some of those, I think. But make a note, and we'll get to it.
Hold on one second. All right, issue 150 done. Tracking that.
Actually, there was something else on the mailing list in July. There were several things on the mailing list.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was just mainly about the change of mailman and things, I think. They're mostly notifications of people being subscribed and the fact that HBO is moving and stuff. A few test messages and things. So it's probably, maybe before we finish and send these notes out, I should maybe point out the difference in the addresses, the mailing list addresses.
Please do, yeah. I've also got the list here for, so the HBR mailing lists are now at https://lists.hackerpublicradio.com/PiperMail/HPR. And you can get the archives there.
Yeah, I will make a note to add it to the show notes. There was one thing, Mark Rice, who is Archer 72, mentioned that he thought it was a good idea to have a contact in case of emergency, a host willing to participate. But I don't think he got much in the way of response to that, am I right?
Well, I'm not sure if... No, he hasn't. Let's just talk about that first. This is as a result of the fact that Ron has basically disappeared from the project. And I don't know, I don't know what the motivations are. I'm inclined to think that something has happened to him. I imagine he would have just got in contact with us. We tried texting him, we tried sending a letter to him, but we haven't got any information. So if anyone lives in or around Baltimore area in the US, if you could drop me a line, and maybe you might be able to check up locally to see if he's doing okay. If he, got annoyed at me being a nutty, that's also fine. Or got annoyed or whatever, or just doesn't want anything more to do with the project, that's also fine. It's just like to know that he's doing okay. Basically that. So if you're in Baltimore area, can you get in touch? That's thing number one. And I think Archer 72, there is a feeling that goes back to Tattoo's show there about friends. When are you just off the internet and when have you moved on? Gone Silent Key show coming up about that shortly. So yeah, it's one to think about. So if you have thoughts on that, my personal feeling is we don't have the bandwidth on HPR, like the janitors don't have bandwidth on HPR to do that for people. Also, so the idea would be, okay, something happens to me, I'm not available for a period of time, Dave has my contact information, and he can ring my phone, my mobile, or he has my address and the house phone, and he can contact me to see what's going on and, is everything okay? And that sort of thing. And, we would do that and make the online community aware that you have basically cast off this mortal coil or gone to the great beyond, etc., etc. But as I say, there's a lot of implications in that. It's a discussion. If people have thoughts, please respond to the email thread. That would be great. Your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, it is an issue. I mean, but I certainly have a notebook, which is in a known place in this house where my kids can go and find all the relevant details should they need to. To be passing that on to some central thing, which is sort of essentially what's being proposed here, takes you into a different sort of realm, partly because you need to have mechanism, a machinery to handle it all and to you know, keep it secure and disseminate it to whoever needs it and that sort of stuff. It's a whole complication that needs a lot of thinking about, I think.
Yeah, and it comes down to trust again, which is another issue related to both One of Spoon's shows and Klaatu shows. You know, maybe it's not necessary to give it to everybody. You just give it to three of your internet friends, and you know they then can kind of be trusted to know if you disappear that, okay, I've sent my contact information to you three, and then you know you know, like the telephone three for parents back in the day. Do you remember that?
Yes, that's a good point. Actually, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, maybe that's enough.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have two people in common, but yeah, you do, and the tree expands. Anyway, but thoughts about that would be welcome. I do want to mention the HBR mailing list address change. So we've moved the mail list to a new email address. Rowan was busy doing that, but we had to take it over, and I just basically outsourced it to mailman.net, who do a mail list, who I've already having doing a mail list for the neighborhood, and I've used them for 3 years without any problem. They keep everything up to date, and I don't need to worry about it. It's at a separate subdomain, and we consciously put it on the .com, acropublicradio.com versus .org. So if the idea being that if anything happens, the .org domain, at least we can still communicate via the .com domain. And if anything happens to the .com domain, then we have the information to contact you via the .org domain. So that's kind of the idea there. It's also on its own subdomain, so lists.hackerpublicradio.org. So if you're just sending in a new mail list to the HPR, it's no longer hpr@hackerpublicradio.org. It's hpr@lists.hackerpublicradio.com. I'll say that again. It's hpr@lists.hackerpublicradio.com. That is all.
Okay. We have two other things to mention in the any other business part of the notes.
There's the OLF conference was also September 8th and 9th, call for presentations. So if you're going to OLF, call for presentations is open.
Okay.
And that's it. So thank you. Carry on.
AOB. I just put in an article about the static site and how things are moving forward with it. It was mentioned in the last community news, and we've moved everything to a new server, and the static site written by Rowan is being used to generate the non-interactive part of the website. And there've been issues with it. There've been bugs and that type of thing. We solved a lot of them by sort of workarounds, but we've also been working on fixing them in the static site software to get it all working. And I wouldn't say that we've got them all yet, but we're making reasonable progress on fixing them. So they'll gradually get better as time goes on. And if you spot anything, let us know. It's basically it. Yeah, go on. Sorry, Ken.
And the vast majority of issues are either I didn't explain properly what we wanted, or, you know, it was just I wouldn't put it down to Rowan's coding. It's interpretation of the way things were done and things changed. That a lot of some of the changes were that we didn't have things in the database available, and now they are, et cetera, et cetera. So
It was an. What he was attempting to emulate was a very complex system that had evolved over years, I guess, isn't it? And maybe wasn't fully explained. And also we were caught unawares with getting it all together by the need to move off to a different server. So, you know, the original timescale was by the end of this year to have it moved across, but we had to get it done by June, mid-June, I think, wasn't it? And so, you know, it's not surprising that there were loose ends there.
But in fairness to Rowan and the code, the vast majority of stuff, it was just when we had edge cases, like when you zoomed to the latest show, it went to the latest one, and it didn't publish beyond today, which was fine, but we needed those extra ones for the queue. It was for the day-to-day, 90%, 95% of the daily operation of the website, it worked absolutely fine. So credit where credit's due.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, and Rowan... Well, I said in this thing here that this software is excellent, and we certainly appreciate the quality of what was done. And plus also, after you get your head around it, I think he was going to document stuff a bit later on, as you do. You get it working and then you document it. So we're lacking documentation a bit. So it's been an exercise of working out how it all works. But it's actually really nicely put together.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's very, very, very cleverly built. So adding stuff to it and maintaining what's there and so forth is pretty straightforward thing to do once you've got your head around which bit does what. It's a one Perl script running the whole shebang from a configuration file, and the configuration file nominates lots and lots of templates using a Perl template toolkit stuff, and the templates do a lot of the donkey work of putting together web pages or running queries, and in some cases generating XML in order to make the final product. So once you know which one to go to change that comma to a semicolon or whatever it is you're having to do, then it's pretty easy to fix.
And also that templating system is fairly generic now in other languages. It's the same templating system that's used in Python. So if you think, I heard Perl been mentioned over there, the Perl script, all that's doing is with the templates, it generates the files. So the templates are more in an abstract high-level language that is fairly easy to follow, actually. It's kind of HTML, and then you see here there's a loop in this section, and then you see that they're calling something over here. It's all fairly followable.
Yep. Well, you can embed Perl in the templates, but Rowan hasn't done that. And I think that was a decision he made from the get-go, and which I fully applaud, because you know it's nice for Perl hackers to go and poke around with that level of stuff in the template, but not for anybody else. And the whole idea of having templates is that you can pass them to people who don't have the full skill set. I think they originally came out of a scenario where the developers were putting together stuff to run a website, but then you had another team who was really HTML experts who didn't want to get into the programming aspect of it, given that HTML is not really programming in the normal sense, and so they could go to the template, tweak the HTML, do a bit of CSS whatevers and stuff without ever needing to get near to the programming area. So that's been implemented well, I think, in this particular case, and it's proving to be good to work with.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's I really like it. It's clean and it's a nice way of producing sites, and it's kind of logical as well. Any of the weirdness and associated with it are as a result of our concept of now and tomorrow and yesterday and linking stuff. But I really think you could take this, and I was thinking of taking this and using it to update my blog, going from WordPress just back to this. It's quite simple.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a very nice implementation. Okay, so the other subject was the reserve queue that you wanted to have an item in about. Do you want me to talk about this?
Shall I do it? Because you've been watching.
Yeah, sure.
And I also asked you to put it in. So we had the situation the other day where there was a free slot and we hadn't it filled. And then when we filled it, it went to the IA, Internet Archive, were being DDoSed again or something. And it ended up that the show got released, but it didn't get into the queue, but it was on the website. And the reason for that is we put it on the website and we don't make it available until the media files are available, which kind of makes sense. So everything was working as normal, but everything was working correctly. But the abnormality was that it was later in the day before it got published. Is that fair to say?
It was, we missed the sort of midnight deadline that we normally try and make by a few hours.
So we have said that we're going to be using the reserve queue more. And you saw that this in the last week, there were four shows that were taken from the reserve queue. And thankfully, people are putting shows back into the reserve queue. So you have the option on upload whether you can schedule. If you want to schedule it, that's great. You can also throw them into the reserve queue and we will free up those slots. And we will be filling those slots 5 to 7 days into the future because we want to make sure that the Internet Archive have enough time to process all the media files.
Yep, that's right. That's it. Yes, we hadn't quite worked out what the delay was likely to be between us getting the show already at the HBR end and it being available on the Internet Archive. And it can be very, very quick, within sort of 10 minutes or something, but it can also be delayed for a day or more. So you need to be prepared for it being one of those bad days. So that's the reason.
Just about the issue. So all the source code for HBR is now available on the HBR repo, which is repo.anonymoushost.net. And if you log in there, you'll get access to, or you can get access to the HBR website. I think the code is actually available now without having an account. I wasn't logged in the other day and I was able to see it. So that's good. You, in order to do anything, you need an account, and that's fair enough. There are things that are still not in the repo, and that is static files. But as we go through the website, we will be adding those into the correct places, and we'll be deleting old repos and stuff so that everything is reflected. So we currently have 10 open issues onto the old source code website, and those relate to feature requests that we wanted to implement and that have as yet not been implemented. We've got 13 issues on the stuff like updating the null values, allowing episodes to have multiple hosts and allowing series to have multiple series, uploading shows to YouTube, adding links to hookah shows, doing PGP keys for host emails. Do we want an Atom feed and improving download of Gravatar images? So that's what's there. Related to the HBR generation itself, we've got 23 issues open, which I won't go through because they're there. And there are 13 related to the HBR hub website, which is, you know, the general HBR website. Not really sure the best way of posting bugs, actually. But, well, anyway, post a bug and we'll get to it. That's all I have to say, Dave.
Yes, yes. I was distracted there looking at the website.
Yeah, some days we did a show where we, Ron and I did a show where we go through and open an issue and close it. But there's so much that we're doing now that what Dave and I are going to be doing is we will do some stuff, fix what we see as we're going along, and then just post a fix and then it's documented. So it's not, you know, this push is fixing 5 different issues or addressing at least 5 different issues, maybe not fixing them all, but That's the way it's going on. But it is good, actually. It's great to be able to just go, ba 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 ba, and file an issue, and then it's in one place.
Yeah, yeah. We've missed this for years, really. We didn't have a mechanism. And when we did have a mechanism, we didn't really know the best way to use it, I guess it's fair to say. So I certainly didn't, anyway. But
A lot of the issues with the old code, we couldn't have done any of them until we moved to this new site. So now we can address them, and some of them I'm thinking, like, the Atom feed, do we really need it? We could do it, but it's just something else to manage. What's the point?
Yeah.
Most people use RSS anyway now, so fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. I think I'm seeing it as being a manageable thing, even though we're there's just the two of us looking after it. We're making headway. So I think it's helped a lot by the fact we've got this excellent code to work with, but we've also got a Git repo to work properly with.
Yeah.
Several Git repos, to be honest. But things look pretty good.
Okay, I don't have anything else. I'm going to go out and hopefully the weather will be improved that I can do something with the shed. We will see.
Yep, stop raining.
Anything
here
else?
Too, sir. No, nothing else. No.
Okay, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.